Hello everyone, I am here today because I wanted to take a moment to talk about my favorite Hollywood director. And that man is named Zack Snyder, the director of such awesome films as Dawn of the Dead, 300, Watchmen, Legends of the Guardians of the Isles of Ga'Hoole, Sucker Punch, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, and the film that we have yet to be released, which will be next year on HBO Max, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Now, why is he my favorite director? Because I know a lot of people, they like to give him so much shit for a lot of dumb reasons, and I've covered it on this channel numerous times. I even devoted an entire podcast last year to people who hate Zack Snyder, and why I believed that their hate is very much unreasonable and unjustified and just plain sick. Because, just to summarize pretty much everything I talked about in that little video, a lot of the stuff that people like to say about Zack Snyder, about, when they criticize his movies, they would say, like, he doesn't know how to tell a story, he's style over substance. When it comes to the DC characters specifically, he doesn't understand the characters, and he shouldn't be allowed to touch these characters, and other people saying, like, oh, he's misogynist, he's sexist, he's racist, blah 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 blah. Well, I'm here today to say that all of that is complete bullshit, and I'm gonna talk about why. I'm gonna start off with the easy one about saying that he's racist. I briefly talked about it on another podcast about a month ago, I believe. I don't remember exactly when. But, yeah, people that want to claim that he's racist, I do not understand that. Where this idea comes from that people think he's saying that he's racist. Like, most of his films feature people of color. Dawn of the Dead featured Ving Rhames as the male lead of the film. It was also Mekhi Phifer in that film as well. And 300 was, yeah, I get it, was mostly, white guys. But it was, the Spartans, read the graphic novel version, since that's what it's based off of, which is actually based off of the real, Spartan, battle. And then Watchmen, well, there's a lot that you can say about Watchmen, which I love, by the way. And Owls of Ga'Hoole was a film about owls, which I'm looking at the cast. There was a lot of, people of color featured in the voice cast as well. And Sucker Punch, they had Vanessa Hudgens, who was, a person of color, and Jamie Chung, who was a person of color as well, and Oscar Isaac, a person of color. And then Man of Steel, we had Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White, a character who has been traditionally a white man in the comics and in the previous Superman films. And then we go to Batman vs. Superman, where we got to see Joe Morton as Silas Stone and Ray Fisher as Victor Stone in the brief cameos there. Gal Gadot, who is of Israeli descent, as Wonder Woman, and Jason Momoa, Polynesian, as Aquaman. Mercy Graves, played by, I believe she was an Asian woman, not 100% sure, and several other women, men and women of color throughout the film. And just, I don't understand where people that want to say he's racist, and also that he's misogynist and homophobic. Kirstie Clemens, cast as Iris West in his Justice League movie, she's bisexual, I believe. And Ezra Miller, he is, I think if I remember correctly, he's gender fluid. If he was homophobic or transphobic or LGBTQ+ phobic, he wouldn't have cast those people in his movies. And also misogynist. A lot of people that say he's misogynist stems from their misguided feelings on the movie Sucker Punch. a lot can be said about Sucker Punch, but my friend Justin can do a much better job of it than I. And whenever he does his video on Sucker Punch, I'll be happy to share that with you people. But the whole idea of saying that he's misogynist and sexist. In Dawn of the Dead, which was his very first film directorial debut. His debut as a film director. Sarah Pauli is the main protagonist of the film, because it's Sarah Pauli and then Ving Rhames. You know, she gets top billing. You see it right there. Sarah Pauli, first name. She gets top billing, and she's essentially the hero of the whole movie. So, his first movie out, and has a powerful female lead, but he's misogynist. And at 300, people want to say he's misogynist and sexist. 300 is literally buffed up, ripped, jacked dudes in leather thongs, essentially. But he's misogynist. And Watchmen, Silk Spectre, both versions of the character. Yes, the costume is a little skimpy and whatever, but that's because it's an adaptation of what's in the comic books, you know. But they were both powerful female characters and portrayals by Malin Ackerman and Carla Gugino. Or Gugino. I don't know. I don't remember how it's pronounced. And Sucker Punch, a mostly female cast of some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen on film. You know, Carla Gugino again, because she's a favorite of Zack Snyder that cast her has had her in a lot of his movies. And she was, in Watchmen, she's in Sucker Punch, and she also was the voice of the Kryptonian AI, I think it was a Kelix in Man of Steel, and then again in Batman vs. Superman. And we had Emily Browning and Jenna Malone, Vanessa Hudgens, Jamie Chung, and I forget what the other one's name was, the one that plays Baby Doll. Look at here. Abby Cornish as well, yeah. That's her name. And yes, the outfits that they wore can be, and I can kind of see the people that think that it's fetishized because of schoolgirl outfits and all that bullshit, but this is a fantasy world where essentially none of what is happening on screen is actually even happening. You know, when they get into those fantasy worlds, taking on these fantastical creatures and machines. But in those fantasy sequences, they are badass women kicking everybody's ass. They are kicking all the men's ass, kicking all the creatures' asses, kicking all the machines' asses. They are heroes. They are badass women. And even I saw an interview clip with Jenna Malone when promoting Sucker Punch. She said that, that she loved getting to be a badass and looking sexy while doing it. Yeah. And then also I mentioned it in the other podcast a couple weeks ago, the women that want to talk about how the Amazons look in Justice League, which was, the Themyscira scene was mostly Zack Snyder, in the theatrical version at least, but it was mostly Zack Snyder, and a lot of the women were wearing more revealing outfits than what they wore in the Wonder Woman film by Patty Jenkins, and that's where a lot of people kept putting up the memes of when a woman directs versus when a man directs, forgetting or just completely ignoring that a lot of the women in that movie, that they're professional athletes and bodybuilders, and they worked with Michael Wilkinson, the costume designer, on those outfits so that they can show off their muscles and the toned bodies that they worked so hard for to achieve for that movie, because they were going to be only in that scene on Themyscira. Some of them were in the history lesson, Robin Wright, even though she's tech not really credited in the movie, but she's in there, Connie Nielsen's in there, and a few others are in there, and they wanted to show off the bodies that they worked so hard on, and also because it's easier to move when you're wearing just like essentially a leather Speedo and a leather, sports bra, and those are the costumes that they wanted to wear. It wasn't that Zack Snyder wanted to intentionally show off their bodies because he's a sexist pig or whatever bullshit you bloggers come up with. The Was it as how does Dave say it? Cherry snow cone, you know, hair bloggers. Yeah, these women wanted to look that way. They wanted to wear those costumes to show off their perfectly sculpted bodies that they worked so hard on, and they all love Zack Snyder. I've never heard anybody in any movie that has ever worked with Zack Snyder ever say anything bad about him. Like, even Michael Shannon, in a recent interview, all he did was talk about how great of a human being Zack Snyder is, that he is his friend, and he's so happy that he's getting his Justice League movie finally released. Ben Affleck, in so many interviews, talking about he loves Zack Snyder, and that he would do anything for him. And, you know, and then Gal Gadot, you know, praising Zack Snyder for casting her as Wonder Woman. Jason Momoa being one of the biggest cheerleaders of Zack Snyder for the last 3 years. Ray Fisher at, you know, San Diego Comic-Con 2017, wearing the I Heart ZS t-shirt, and just because, and praising him, especially, like, with him and Chris Terrio for having him as Cyborg in Batman vs. Superman and Justice League, because before that, he had no film credits. He had done a few TV, spots, and mostly theater, and Justice League was going to be his official, silver screen debut, and we saw how, the studio chopped the shit out of that. But he thanked Zack Snyder so much for taking a chance on a person with essentially no experience, again, and being a person of color, and he said it on a tweet they met with him face to face to hash out the details of Victor Stone and Cyborg before they even had an official script for Justice League. So they trusted in him that much. Zack Snyder trusted in Ray Fisher that much before they even had a story worked out to hear what ideas Ray Fisher has that he wants to implement in the movie. Because that's the kind of director Zack Snyder is. And even Gerard Butler, talking about when he did the famous "This is Sparta," that everyone on the set, they laughed at it. But Zack said, was basically like, "That's it. That's the moment. I love that," kind of thing. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he played the comedian in Watchmen. He loves Zack Snyder as well. He loves him so much that he showed up in just to do the opening scene of Batman vs. Superman where he played Thomas Wayne. Of course, it was going to lead a lot more, and a lot of stuff has been coming out. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen with that Flashpoint movie. A lot of conflicting stories with that. But if you want to hear more about that, check out more credible people like Film Junkie and, pretty much anybody else besides me, because I am not a credible source for such stories. But anyways, all these actors and production crew members that love Zack Snyder, Larry Fong, Fabian Wagner, Chris Terrio, and Michael Wilkinson, Patrick Thesopoulos, who worked on a lot of the movies with Zack as well, and Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL, who did the score for three of his movies, and Tyler Bates, he did the score for the first three films of Zack Snyder's filmography. He did the score for Dawn of the Dead and 300 and Watchmen, and then going back to Carla Gugino again, talking about how she loves working with Zack Snyder so much. She did Watchmen, Sucker Punch, and she lended her voice to Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. And Jesse Eisenberg also talking about how much he loved working with Zack Snyder. Christopher Maloney praising Zack Snyder. All these people that have worked with him. And Dave Bautista, talking about how great of a person Zack Snyder is. All these people that have actually worked with him, praising him so much, but yet these stupid bloggers that can't get over their own personal and political biases want to shit on him so much and make stupid jokes and heartless, disgusting comments, joking about his daughter Autumn committing suicide, which is just joking about suicide in general is disgusting in my opinion, but to basically beat him while he's down, losing his daughter, and then people just making jokes about it, they can fuck off. It's like, you can say whatever you want about his movies, but when you go on the personal attack like that, you guys can fuck off. But anyways, that's enough of that little rant, but Why do I love Zack Snyder's movies? Holy shit, I've gone 15 minutes, and now I'm finally getting to the main topic at hand for this. Why do I love Zack Snyder? Why is he my favorite director? One of the reasons why is because, well, first off, all of his movies, I've not been disappointed by any of his movies that he has directed. 100% directed from start to finish. You know, because the theatrical cut of Justice League, no. But all of his films, Dawn of the Dead, 300, Watchmen, Legends of the Guardians, Isles of Gahul, Sucker Punch, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and his short film, Snow, Steam, Iron. All of those movies that he filmed were all great to me. You know, yeah, of course, I love some more than others, but all of them I am so entertained by so much. And the reason what makes me entertained by them is, you know, a lot of people will say that he doesn't know how to tell a story. He's, to me, one of the greatest visual storytellers in Hollywood. You know, and he's been praised by other directors for such things. James Cameron said that Zack Snyder created his own cinematic language, and that is, to me, one of the highest praise, probably one of the highest, you know, praise you can get from someone in Hollywood. Because I mean, it's James Cameron, Oscar-winning director. You know, held the number one spot of the highest-grossing films of all time for over 20 years. So, you know. And David Ayer praises Zack Snyder as well. But when it comes to the storytelling that Zack Snyder has in his movies, all of these stories, when you look past the surface level aspect of it, you know, where they say style over substance. Yes, he does have a style, but his style is his substance, because he shows you. And but doesn't always tell you, because he wants you to think about what he's showing you. He has a lot of hidden meanings in a lot of what he does in his movies and his social media activity. If you follow him on Vero, which anyone who's watching this that is a Zack Snyder fan, most likely you're on Vero, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. He loves his hidden messages and hidden meanings in pretty much everything he does. You know, even something as simple as posting a picture of him at the beach with a little sculpture in the sand. You know, hidden meanings in everything. All of his stories have an underlying theme to all of them. As my friend Justin would say, the core theme of it is individualism. And like I said, he can explain it much better than I can. Which, if you want to discuss that with him, check him out on Twitter, @TheMidSide, and he can give you a much more intelligent discussion and debate than I can on the subject. But with his stories, I am always invested in the stories that Zack Snyder tells in all of his movies, because he knows how to make these characters, whether they are good people or bad people or in the middle, or, you know, the mid-side, that even if they're supposed to be the villain, you can still understand their point of view on the story. Like, you can understand where they're coming from. The best example I can give is Man of Steel. Zod is clearly the villain, but the way the story is told through the mind of Zack Snyder, you can understand where Zod is coming from in his mission to resurrect Krypton on planet Earth. That you, even though, you know, he's doing it at the cost of mass genocide of people of planet Earth, you understand, because he even says it in before him and Superman have the big fight at the end. He says he was born, his sole purpose for being born is to serve and protect the people of Krypton, because of the, you know, artificial population that they implemented on Krypton when they harvested the planet's core, and, you know, each person was assigned their, you know, vocation once they are born. You know, like Zod was bred to be a soldier, and Jor-El was bred to be a scientist. Because everybody was, you know, all of it was artificial, and their destinies were predetermined, this kind of thing. Which, let's be honest, that is something that actually can be very relatable to people in real life. Because when we're all children, our parents like to try to dictate what our futures are going to be. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, like when I was growing up, because I liked to draw, my parents wanted me to go to go to art school and become an artist. And it's just, I love to draw as a hobby. And, whenever I'm feeling inspired to draw something or create like some of the stuff I do on the computers, and if I went to school for it and try to make a career out of it, like, I feel like I would lose my passion for it. So I'm content with just keeping it as a hobby. I love my mom wanting me to pursue a career in that, but it's just, that was not my desire. And that was what Jor-El wanted for Kal-El. Being the first natural birth in Krypton for in centuries, and that's why when he knew that the planet was disintegrating little by little, he set off to send Kal-El to planet Earth so that he can have the option of choice and decide his own destiny, and that's why they had the kind of polar opposite with Jonathan Kent, where he wanted great things for him, but also was trying to, not, I wouldn't say hold him back, but just wanted him to wait until he was ready. So, but again, that's another relatable aspect of storytelling of Zack Snyder, from looking at it from the point of view of a father. I mean, I'm not a father, I've mentioned that many times, but other people that I've talked to who love Man of Steel, who are fathers, and they understand the point of view of Jor-El and of Jonathan Kent told through that, or through the visual, storytelling style of Zack Snyder. And we see a lot of that as well in 300, where, like with Leonidas, that he is the king, essentially. Well, essentially, he is the king and his queen. That he doesn't vocalize his love for her, but his dying words are, my queen, my wife, my love. I think that's how it is. I'm paraphrasing, but his final words are, my love. So that's what it was. In his dying moments, he vocalized his love for his wife. And I get a little teary-eyed whenever that moment comes up when I watch the movie. And that's the thing. Every character, I am invested in every single character of every Zack Snyder movie. I was invested in all the characters of Dawn of the Dead. And I was invested in all the characters of 300. I was invested in everyone in Watchmen. I was even invested in the Legends of the Guardians, Albs of Gahul. I was so emotionally invested in that movie, in that animated movie about owls. I was emotionally invested to the point at certain scenes, I got teary-eyed and started to cry, especially with the little baby sister owl. I can't remember what her name was off the top of my head, but if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. When they do the staring into the sun part, and I think it's sun sleep or moon sleep, something like that. And I got teary-eyed for that moment, and I got teary-eyed at parts of Dawn of the Dead. I got teary-eyed for 300. Parts of Watchmen I get a teary-eyed for. Sucker Punch, when certain characters perished, is a nice way to say it, because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it. I got teary-eyed, and for one particular, I cried. And for Man of Steel, I cried at several moments in that as well. Then for Superman, I cry. And I'm sure when Zack Snyder's Justice League finally comes out on HBO Max next year, I'll probably cry at a good amount while watching that. Because I've always believed that if I can feel emotionally invested in a story where to the point that it removes me so emotionally that I can cry, then I know that I experienced a great story. And for every single Zack Snyder film that I've watched, I get that experience. I feel so emotionally invested in all of those stories and all of those characters, especially Man of Steel, because Man of Steel is my favorite Zack Snyder movie. I don't know how the rest of them rank, but Man of Steel is, was, and for right now at least, it will always be my favorite Zack Snyder film. Because, not just because it's a Superman movie, because again, everybody knows Superman is my favorite comic book character, but the story of Man of Steel to me is so far beyond just being another comic book superhero film. It is so much, it is a story of individualism. Again, talk to at the Midside if you want to have a fun little debate about individualism. And it is about, you know, finding your purpose, you know, because that's what Clark Kal-El is trying to do throughout the movie. He's trying to find his purpose in our world, trying to find what he is supposed to do, trying to decide what he is supposed to do, because he has these abilities, he has these powers, he has these gifts, and he's not sure what he's supposed to do. And that's when he decides on his own that he is going to become Superman. You know, he's going to be that beacon of hope and that hero that this world desperately needs. Yeah. And because he takes the lessons that he learned from Jonathan Kent, his Earth father, and then the stories he learned from his biological father, Jor-El, when speaking to his consciousness on the Kryptonian scout ship, learning the history of Krypton, and who he, you know, the lineage that he comes from, and he chooses his destiny, you know, with the knowledge of both of his fathers instilled in him now. And it's just, every time I watch Man of Steel, I feel so inspired to be something greater, you know. Like Jor-El says, you know, what if a child aspired to be something greater? So what if a child aspired to be something more than what society had intended for them? And just, it's just, that's why people, you know, others like me in the little community that I socialize in on Twitter and Vero, you know, that we agree that Man of Steel to us is the greatest, you know, Superman story ever told. And I understand that there's a lot of people who prefer the Christopher Reeve stories. I get that. I love those films as well. They were my first introduction to Superman, so I get it. I'm not going to hold that against anybody. I'm not going to be like that Partisan Nick Sick, whatever the fuck his name is on Twitter, where he shits on anything that's not Zack Snyder. But just the shit that Zack Snyder got for those movies, I've been defending him for so many years before it became popular to defend Zack Snyder. I was defending Zack Snyder. Before there were Twitter accounts dedicated to Zack Snyder, I was defending Zack Snyder. Before there were little different factions within the Snyder Cut movement, I was defending Zack Snyder. And I mean, I was a Zack Snyder fan before I even knew who Zack Snyder was, because I'd seen Dawn of the Dead and loved it, saw 300, loved it, saw Watchmen, loved it, saw all those movies. I saw them and I loved them. And then when Man of Steel was coming out, you know, because I think Watchmen was when I became aware of who Zack Snyder is, when I really started paying attention to who Zack Snyder was and is. And then when Man of Steel was coming out, and my friend told me that, you know, Zack Snyder is going to be directing a Superman movie, and I thought, my reaction was just, the same guy that directed Watchmen is going to be directing Superman? And I was just like, holy fucking shit, I am there. And now I really wish I would have been there in the theaters to see Man of Steel when it came out 7 years ago. But I got the DVD as a Christmas gift later that year. Christmas, birthday slash Christmas, because my birthday is December 23rd. And I just was mesmerized, enamored, and fell in love with that story, and that's when I decided Zack Snyder is my favorite director. Number one favorite director. I have a lot of other favorites, like I love Steven Spielberg, love Christopher Nolan, I love Quentin Tarantino, and I love Rob Zombie to an extent. Not all of his movies are great. I love Tim Burton, and I even love Joel Schumacher. Rest in peace, Joel Schumacher. But Zack Snyder is my number one favorite director. And going back to the whole style over substance, yes, Zack Snyder is, like I said, he's a very visual storyteller. He's not like the MCU where they have to verbally spell it out for you and spoon feed you everything. You know, Zack Snyder doesn't spoon feed it to you. Zack Snyder makes you think about it until you finally get to where he wanted you to go. And with the visual part of it, that he has a very specific visual style that is very distinct to him, and you know you're watching a Zack Snyder film when you see that visual style. He has the Zack Snyder color palette, that color grading that he puts on all of his films, and just because the visuals that he uses and shows, you know, through his, you know, his friends, you know, Fabian Wagner and God damn it, I'm forgetting the other one. Let me look at here because I can't think of it off the top of my head. Larry Fong, yeah, fuck. Larry Fong and Fabian Wagner, that he gets those beautiful visuals on screen through them, and that he create some of the most beautiful imagery in a lot of these movies. Like, you can take almost any shot from a Zack Snyder movie, and you can have that framed on your wall, and people will wonder, when people would look at that and say, like, wow, that's fucking beautiful. Where is that from? Because he has one of the most visually pleasing directors ever, and everything that he put it on the screen, and it is beautiful. And like looking at the, especially like Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman, the capes that Batman and Superman have in you know, Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman, most of the time the capes aren't actually there. Those are CGI capes, and they're the most, they look freaking flawless on screen. Like when Superman takes the first flight in Man of Steel, when he walks out of the Kryptonian ship and the cape is flapping in the wind, flapping so beautifully in the wind, it's not even actually there. It's a CG cape, and you can't tell that at all. And even the Kryptonian armor that Jor-El and Zod wear, and Feyora and Nan and the other Kryptonians, none of those the Kryptonian armor is not actually there. It's CG armor, and it's just like, holy fucking shit, you know? It's so, wow. And like I said, for me at least, the actual story is being told in these movies. You know, how many of these movies have you? Yeah. Let me look, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All those stories are stories that have deep meaning. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of people that negatively criticize his movies, they completely miss the point of the stories that are being told. Especially the people that want to criticize, you know, talk about, oh, we need to have Superman in the modern world where he's, you know, where they explore like immigrant themes and where he's fighting, you know, with, you know, being this god, with being a godlike, you know, being, and, you know, to the people of Earth and blah blah, and me and my, you know, social media friends in the community were just like, we literally got that in this fucking movie right here, and y'all shit on it, and it's just like, God, now you say you want it, but then you really don't want it because you're too stuck in the Christopher Reeve nostalgia. And yeah, nothing against Christopher Reeve, you know, loved his movies. Well, Superman 4, not so much, but just and just nothing to me. Zack Snyder can do no wrong. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it right now. He can do no wrong because none of his films have disappointed me at all. Nothing about any of his films have disappointed me. Every film, from the beginning to end, I am fully invested in the story, in the characters, and I am, like, his movie, like, a lot of times, like, when I'm watching a movie, you know, or something, or, like, on, like, Disney Plus or whatever, I'm on my phone, you know, just scrolling through Twitter and Vero on Instagram, just doing, just bullshit and not even paying attention. But when I'm watching a Zack Snyder movie, devices are turned off, lights are turned off, my attention is on the movie. And not a lot of directors can do that for me. The only other movies that I can do that with are the Star Wars films, and it's mainly the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, because the sequel trilogy with, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker, I can mostly ignore my devices, but other times, not really. But when it comes to Zack Snyder, this stack of movies right here, whenever I watch them, I'm fully invested, and everything around me is ignored completely. And like I said, no other director can do that for me. Maybe Christopher Nolan. But besides Christopher Nolan, Zack Snyder, number one in my book. Nobody can convince me otherwise. And that's why I'm going to leave this video off right now. And whoever decided to tune in and watch this, thank you very much for watching this video, because I'd been wanting to do something like this for a while, just haven't felt the mental motivation to do so, as, people who follow my channel and watch my previous mental health videos understand what I mean by that. But finally got the courage to do this video and defend my favorite director. Not that he really needs any defending, because he has his Hollywood friends to defend him. I'm just the one little guy on YouTube with, about 88-89 subscribers after almost 2 years, and that's fine. I'm not in it for the fame. I'm in it because I love doing it. This was my video presentation on why Zack Snyder is my favorite director. Again, I hope you enjoyed hearing me ramble on for almost 40 minutes, and if you're not subscribed yet, please do so. Subscribe, little button. No, it'd be right here on this side, and click the little bell, ding, so you can get notifications for future videos and podcasts that I do on here. Because I try to do a lot more than the basic stuff. Like, I have my classic wrestling pay-per-views on here, my retro film reviews, started doing video game reviews with the first Last of Us game that I posted up last week, and I will have one for part 2 coming soon once I complete the story. I'm almost there, I'm almost at the end of it. My regular film reviews that I have on there, my worst to best rankings, I have one coming up in July that should be a lot of fun, and just regular podcast episodes, and anything else y'all want to, see from me, follow me on my social medias. All those are in the description: Twitter, Instagram, Vero, my wrestling page now for the count on Facebook, the link is down there as well. Check out the Monetized Podcast store if you want to see any of the fun Zack Snyder shirts that I have on there that are all designed by me, nobody else. These are all original designs from me. And the Snyder World Order T-shirts. I have 4 versions of that. One with the white lettering, black lettering, red lettering, blue lettering. Snyder 214, inspired by the Austin 316 shirt. And another one also inspired by Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's a Wake the Fuck Up, like the Stone Cold Fuck Fear T-shirt, where it has the skull where the U would be. In my version, it's Zack Snyder's face where the U would be. So, yeah, if y'all want to have any of those shirts, please feel free to check them out. And any other designs that I have that catch your eye on in my store, please feel free to purchase it. And also, you can subscribe to my Patreon. That link, both links to the store and the Patreon, will be in the description. Patreon is just $1 a month. I don't have any Patreons yet because I'm not quite popular yet to get to have any Patreons, and that's fine. Like I said, I'm not in it for the fame. I'm doing it because I have fun with it, even when I'm not always feeling mentally there to do some of these podcasts. I do it because it's therapeutic for me. And thank you all so much for watching and for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. And if you're a fellow Zack Snyder fan like me, then you're awesome in my book. So until then, next time, have a wonderful day, have a wonderful week, stay safe, stay healthy, and again, I love you. I'll catch you on the next one.